Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 431, entitled Automating WordPress Form and Checkout Testing with Matt Schwartz of CheckView. It was published on Thursday, the 31st of July, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and before we join Matt, a few bits of housekeeping. If you like what we do, head over to our schedule page, wpbuilds.com/schedule. There's no surprise there. You'll be able to find all of the different places where we post social links and follow us, but also you'll be able to fill out a very simple form and get yourself subscribed to our newsletter. It's the best way to keep up to date with all of the bits and pieces that we produce. Typically, that will be an episode on a Thursday. That's what you're listening to now. We'll send you an email about that. But also, every Monday we do the This Week in WordPress show. It's live, and then we repackage that as a podcast episode and send that out on a Tuesday. So Tuesday is when you would receive the email about that. Speaking of This Week in WordPress, it's at 2 p.m. UK time every Monday. You can find it at wpbuilds.com/live. We would love you to join us in the comments. You could set it as a regular calendar event, because basically we do it most weeks. There's a few weeks where we take vacations and things like that, but most weeks it's on. Once again, 2 p.m. UK time, wpbuilds.com/live. If you're listening to this podcast, there's a fair chance that you are into WordPress. I hope that you are, in fact. If that's the case, it's probable that you've made the connection between this podcast and WordPress. Turns out that companies have also made the same connection. And if you are in the product space in WordPress, maybe you've got a plugin, a theme, a block, some hosting, whatever it may be, there are people in the audience of this podcast who would very much like to hear about your products or services. And so if you'd like to advertise and sponsor the WP Builds podcast, we'd really appreciate that. Head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. And here come three companies that have done just that. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also helped out this week by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. Keeping the lights on this week are also Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their continuing support of the WP Builds podcast. Podcasts like this cannot happen without companies like that. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, today I'm joined by Matt Schwartz. Matt has got something really interesting. It's called CheckView, and it is a way of automating checks on all of the different forms on your WordPress website. This is, of course, very important, because if your forms aren't working, they kind of silently fail. As far as I know, there's no plugin out there which will tell you when the forms are not working, so you need to actually check them yourselves. Now, you can do that manually, obviously going to all the forms and checking them out. However, you could use CheckView to do that for you, and no matter how complicated the form may be, CheckView can fill it out, check if the email has been sent or triggered. It will do all the heavy lifting for you, and it works with pretty much every form plugin that you've ever heard of, plus, importantly, WooCommerce. So we find out today what it's all about, how it works, what it costs, what's on the roadmap, what support they offer, and much more. And I hope that you enjoy it.
I am joined on the podcast by Matt Schwartz. Hello, Matt. Hey, Nathan, thank you so much for having me today.
You're very welcome. Dear listener, we're going to be talking today about CheckView. I think probably the best thing to do, as always with these episodes, honestly, just press pause now. Go to checkview.io. It's exactly as you'd imagine, you know, CheckView, no hyphens, nothing like that, .io. Have a bit of a poke around or have it on in the background whilst you're listening to this because it's, you know, they've done their work spelling it out for you. We're going to try and tease it out of Matt. But Matt, just before we begin, nothing to do with CheckView necessarily. Just give us your little bio. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah, definitely. So my name is Matt. I've been using WordPress since 2010. I started off in HTML, CSS way back in the day, you know, using tables, all that good stuff back probably 10 years before that. And then I was like, I want to use some sort of content management system. I dabbled in a lot of CMSs. WordPress is one that I really enjoyed once it really got to the point where I felt like it could be used for websites. And since then I've been running an agency called Inspree. We've been around since 2011. And CheckView really came out of Inspree, out of a client and our own agency need, which I can talk about. But yeah, based in Atlanta, love to be part of the WordPress community, co-organize WordPress Atlanta.
Oh, nice.
And which was great. It's been a minute since we did it, but you can't beat in person. I love in person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We did quite a lot in the UK, and it's slowly but surely coming back online. But I'm heavily involved with meetups and things like that as well. So I appreciate that.
Yeah,
that's lovely. So in the agency world, you have built a bunch of websites, and it sounds from what you were saying like you were scratching your own itch when you came up with the idea of CheckView. You're going to explain it better than me. So elevator pitch time, what is it in just a few sentences, I guess?
Definitely, yes. So CheckView is a SaaS platform that connects to your WordPress site, whether you're a owner, an agency, or a developer. And it allows you to run tests as a browser, as a real browser, on things like your forms and your WooCommerce checkout to make sure that they're working daily. And it does it in a way that it essentially runs the tests in the background, making sure people aren't getting test leads and that sort of stuff. But this really came out of a frustration when a form or checkout broke and we didn't always know. And there's that really awkward, so my checkout didn't work for like the whole day. I didn't know how much money did you cost me type situation. For listeners that sell care plans or manage websites, you know, this is definitely something that I think a lot of us have had a fear of. I talked to a lot of other agencies before we started this project. And really, I just wanted to eliminate that concern so I could sleep a little better at night. It also ended up being a really good way to differentiate ourselves from other care plans, because let's be honest, almost everyone sells care plans and maintenance plans these days if you're in WordPress land. So it was a good way because most people are not doing that. And if they are, they're manually testing it, which is obviously very time intensive. So this really is a way just to automate this so it can run in the background, and you can also use it as an upsell to clients.
Yeah, so it's kind of like everybody does uptime monitoring, right? If you've got a care plan, you've probably paid to some SaaS service to have your website pinged at some point. And, you know, if it gets a response, it passes and you never hear anything. And then one day something will go wrong, the server will collapse, and you'll get an email because it's pinged it and gets no response. So this is a bit like that, but for forms, right? So, and obviously forms can mean anything, but so when we think about a checkout, it's basically a form. It's a complicated form, but it's a form. But it's that kind of thing. You would go and check periodically, and we can get into the sort of, you know, the nuts and the bolts of how often. You go periodically check, complete a form, however complex that may be. And then if nothing happens, kind of nothing happens. But then if nothing happens, oh no, that's the wrong way around. If nothing happens, you'll alert us. But if it's all filled out successfully, then you won't alert us. Is that basically it?
Basically, yeah. You'll get a notification, email notification, if it's not able to complete the form. We do a lot of extra validation, which we can kind of talk into. But essentially, yeah, it's going to try to go to the website as a bot. That bot is using Chrome, essentially, and it's filling out the form automatically. And if it tries one day and it can't, let's say you have a JavaScript error on submit or a form field says it's required, but you can't get past that, which honestly is a bug I've seen more than I expected in forms where we thought it was check view broken. Nope, it was the form software broken. We've seen that in multiple form plugins in the past year since launching. But essentially, it will go through, and if it gets stuck, it will alert you, and then you can watch a video. It shares a video of what the bot is seeing. It also records all the steps. It gives you network logs, all sorts of information, so you or your developer can take a look and quickly figure it out before your customer does. And then they get that awkward phone call from one of their customers being like, I tried to fill out your form. I want to buy something from you, and I can't. So that's what we're trying to avoid.
Yeah, and I guess the real thing here, though, is, like, let's be honest, nobody's going to send you an email to say your form is broken. Not really. I mean, maybe your parents will, but, you know, a random customer is not going to wait around and kind of make the effort. Oh, I really want to buy that widget from you, but the form isn't working. No, they're going elsewhere and buying the widget from your competition. So that's kind of the bit that I'm trying to get into, like the what is the point of this? And the point is that, and I know it sounds trivial, you know, okay, I'm using Contact Form 7, it's getting filled out a couple of times a week. Okay, maybe check views not that for you, I don't know. But obviously, if you're an e-commerce shop and your life depends on forms being filled out successfully, suddenly the need, like, is really profound. And I guess it's hard to... It's hard to encapsulate that unless you've had a failure. I'm going to raise my hand in the air, right, and say right now, this is no word of a lie, I want to put a website together for a client. 4 months later, they told me the form had never worked. And oh, the shame. It was a contact form. It was nothing more than that. It was a little thrill parochial thing. Sure. It didn't really matter. But nevertheless, the fact was I had in some way taken a chunk out of their business by my neglect, and that really wasn't on. They're paying for this to work, and of course, you know, it didn't. And it's not to be underestimated, basically, you know. So I just wonder if you can speak to that, the importance of stuff working, especially forms.
Definitely. I think you have it right, which is, you know, your forms are not necessarily breaking all the time, and I think we all know that. But things do happen. And we're not doing essentially testing the same way some, you know, SaaS platforms like Wix or Squarespace are, because everyone controls their own WordPress site, right? For the most part, unless you're on .com. So that means, you know, if you're not testing your form and you run a plugin update or something and something breaks, which does happen on occasion, you may not know for hours, days, or months. And depending on the business, that can be a huge chunk of sales. For example, you know, this whole idea came out of a client that ran a WooCommerce shop. They didn't get a sale for 2 days, which, you know, looking back, they probably could have told us sooner, but also it was our responsibility managing the site. And so there was this thing where, you know, they're like, how do we quantify what we've lost? And, you know, the conversation just turns kind of awkward, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've also talk to a lot of agencies where they have a similar thing with sales forms. Sales forms maybe aren't as direct, but that one sale form could be equal to $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 lead, depending on your company. And, you know, I start to look in also to the statistics of that. And we have some of these lists on our website, which is nearly 70% of people, if they try to fill out your form and it doesn't work, they will not try again. They'll never try again. And that's a sale you lost. And then even with something like e-commerce, over 10% of users, if they encounter an issue on your cart, they're not going to try again. So those sort of things do add up over time. Another common issue that we do check for is people submit a form and it submits fine, right? But you never get the email.
Ooh.
SMTP is not working, right? And there's some other tools now, plugins to work around this. But we go a little, you know, further with it. We send tests actually to us because a lot of times if a customer submits a form, another stat I found is, you know, 80% of people not follow up if they submit a form and they don't hear from you. They just assume that you don't want their business. So, you know, when the longer a form sits there and you, you know, aren't realizing you're not getting the emails, then, you know, that lead essentially goes cold very quickly. And most users are not going to take you seriously if days go by and you have not responded, which I think a lot of salespeople could speak to. So that is the stakes that I think, you know, a lot of WordPress owners should be looking at that we're not always looking at and we don't really quantify. And then those sales are just slipping through when really the whole point of a website is typically, in outside of like, you know, nonprofits and that sort of stuff, is some sort of sale. Even with things like nonprofits, though, you know, that's engagement for their users, which can lead to donations. So ultimately, you know, it's not something that's happening all the time, but it definitely happens enough that we ourselves felt like this is something that we need to tackle. And we talked to a lot of agencies and they felt the same way. They've been burned at least a handful of times and had cost them clients or sales or something along that line.
Yeah, I guess the mystery here, the thing which is so infuriating, is the silent failure of it all. You know, if you were getting, I don't know, somebody submits a form on your website, it somehow failed, but that form plugin then contacted you and sort of said, look, something seems to be wrong. That would be great. You know, you could go in and fix it, but they don't. It all just silently fails. And that's you on the SMTP side as well. You know, the email could fail, the form itself could fail. And you mentioned something which I think is quite interesting. In more recent versions of WordPress, we now have these automatic plugin updates where, you know, you can just go into the dashboard and click update automatically, and it will just, you know, on the mm-hmm. cron job, it'll just carry on and update things in the background. So you might have overnight 5, 6, 10, whatever, plugins updating, and you're not going to know unless you go into the back end and do this sort of stuff whether there's some kind of conflict which has now suddenly arisen that wasn't there yesterday. And so this process of checking things is, yeah, okay, you've sold me on the idea. I like it. It's cool. So then how the heck does it work? Because like my form could be email, name, submit, that's it. Or it could be, you know, like 4,000 fields with, I don't know, sections where I have to finish a section and then go on to the next section. I've got tabs, or it could be a, I don't know, a WooCommerce thing where I've got to select the color of the t-shirt. How do I build in your system? How do I build the test so that I know that it works for every single form, no matter how complicated it's been built?
Definitely. So this is something that we've been, you know, trying to solve for a while here. Our end goal here really was, how can we simplify the testing? Because to be honest, there is testing solutions out there today. Typically, the way they work is you use a Chrome extension, you write the steps manually, and you basically are instructing the bot, click here, click on this CSS selector, this way basically to select a field. You're writing code sometimes to do it depending on what tool you're using. A lot of automated testing, which is really what this is at the end of the day, it's testing that's running automatically. It happens in all software. It's not just WordPress. If anything, WordPress is kind of weak on the automated testing platform side. But essentially, what we do is we try to simplify this as much as possible. So we have actually integrated in with a majority of the larger form plugins for WordPress. So things like WS Form, WP Forms, Ninja, Gravity, Formidable, Contact Form 7, Fluent, and then Woo. We've built in these so we recognize the fields and our bot's able to basically generate the steps on its own.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we took a lot of time to do that. And that's really what differentiates this tool from the other ones out there, is that we attempt to create the test for you. I'm not going to say it always works, because, you know, it doesn't always work during the generation. There are sometimes you have to tweak it, but majority of the time it will work. And the good thing is, once the steps are written, it's just going to run like clockwork, either daily or weekly, depending on what you have it set to. And our system is basically going to go out to your website as a bot, and it's going to go through whatever your real form is. It's going to use a real Chrome browser, so it's just like a real user. It's, you know, no different than a real user in that capacity. We also have a plugin on the website. It's just a small little utility plugin for CheckView. And that allows us to do some additional validation. So when you actually submit a form, it will check that form data and make sure it's saved properly. It will tell the SaaS it saved, let's say, into WS Forms database properly, because sometimes there are issues there where they go blank or something like that. It will also remove that test data from the backend.
Nice.
So you don't have to worry about it filling up. And we will actually redirect the test to our inbox. Think of it as a test Gmail inbox. We make sure we at least get some version of that email so you know your SMTP is working. And that way, the email also does not go to the original recipients, because you don't want your clients or whoever's receiving these, you know, submissions going to getting all these tests. So our goal is, if it's running every day, you're not getting those. We suppress those. We send them to us in majority of cases. If it's any of the plugins I just mentioned, all of those, we do all of that out of the box right away. Technically, you can use this with any form software. You don't have to use it with the ones we've listed, but in that case, you have to write the steps, and it's not going to do that additional validation. It's going to send it to the original recipient as well, just because we can't, you know, integrate in with those platforms. Yeah. But for those plugins that we support, we try to make it as off the shelf, you know, automatically, as they would say. So you just basically say, I want you to test this form. Here's the URL. It will create the steps. It will generate that, and it will run the test on a daily or on a weekly schedule. And it will basically just alert you if there's issues. And of course, we have reports and all that sort of stuff too.
Right. Let me try and... So this is going to be a fairly long reply, because I want to make sure I've got all of that. So first thing, on the website, the following forms are supported. So you get the best version of the platform from the following things: WooCommerce, WS Form, WP Forms, Ninja Forms, Gravity Forms, Formidable Forms, Contact Form 7, and Fluent Forms. They're the ones that are listed. The others will work, but there's more legwork to be done. You have to kind of define what the fields are and what have you. But if let's say I would go to a page and there's a WS form on there, all I need to do is tell CheckView the URL of that page. Is that where we begin? Do I just say there's a form embedded here somewhere on this page? Is that how it begins?
Yeah, so you would install our free plugin. You would go into the website, and I mean, it's up to you, but I can technically show this to you if you want to see it. But it may give you some visuals. Here, I'll share my screen. So I'm just in a demo account right now.
So dear listener, yeah. I'm getting a view of this, and although you won't be able to see it yourself, I will let you know what I'm seeing. So I'm looking at the back end of CheckView that is being kindly shared by Matt, and you're just going to, what, set one up for me?
Yep, exactly. So right now we're in the back end of the CheckView dashboard, which, you know, is outside of your WordPress site. You would sign up on our site, and you can basically add a site here. You can enter in the URL. And when you do that, it's going to ask you to install the free CheckView plugin, which is in the WordPress repo. You would just get that installed. That's completely free. And once that's actually installed, it will make the connection to the website, so CheckView can talk to your website only when it needs to, of course. And once that's connected, we can actually add what's called a test flow. And just think of that as a test. That's just a test that's going to run based on whatever instructions you give it. So if I say add test flow, it's going to connect to the website. It's going to first check to see if there's any form plugins that we support. If it does detect one, let's say something like Gravity Forms, it will show that on the screen. Same thing with Woo. If it detects Woo, it will show you that. And then the last option is you can just create one from scratch, which we can talk about if we have time. But let's say you're going with Gravity Forms. So with Gravity Forms, you would select, I want to use Gravity. I see it's selected. It will detect the forms on your website. So it will list all the forms out so you can pick the right one. And then if you're using a block-based theme, it will go ahead and detect the URL as well. So you can pick, maybe I have my contact form on a Contact Us page and the homepage or something like that. You could select which page you want it to test on. If it is a non-block-based, let's say something like Beaver Builder, you can still do it. It just requires you to type in the URL. Okay. And then you can say how often it runs. And so you can pick, you know, daily or weekly. You can set the time of day, that sort of thing. And when you hit Add Test Flow, it's essentially going to start generating that in the background. You can go ahead and add multiple ones at once. And it will basically work to create the steps, which does take a few minutes. You probably want to go grab a coffee, that sort of thing. And once it's done, it will actually generate a preview test, which is where it just confirms, hey, everything's working. When it runs on the schedule, I know I can pass. If there's some sort of issue, it's going to warn you and it's going to show you a video so you can figure out what's going on. Like I said, the most common area, let's say you have like a signature field. That's something we don't support out of the box, but there's some ways around it. But most forms, and we have all this written in our documentation, are auto-generated. So things like checkboxes, dropdowns, everything you'd use for your standard lead forms, typically, we will generate those steps for you. You don't really have to worry about any of that, including, you mentioned earlier, like, what if I have a form on multiple pages? We support multiple pages. We support conditional logic even. So we'll keep trying to add the steps for the conditional logic automatically. Things like date pickers. So you can, it will actually, with date pickers, try to find the next available date. And that's the stuff that you could technically do in a lot of other software, but it's pretty complicated. And our goal here is that everyone's able to test their forms and check out and use what's called automated testing, even if you have never done automated testing, which is a little different. Like I said, if you're in a different platform besides WordPress, specifically like, you know, larger software, they're always doing automated testing.
Yeah.
Including competitors to WordPress, but because they control that entire
stack, yeah,
they do automated testing all the time. Where again, WordPress land, we don't do this as much. Like, developers do it sometimes, but ultimately, developers can only test so much. They can't test your user flow from the point they get on the website to the point where they check out or something like that, right? And that's really what CheckView tries to solve. Is ultimately, you're responsible for your website, whether it's you're an agency or you're the site owner. And that's a little bit different than, you know, other platforms. And we are trying to solve for that as well.
So just to confirm back to the listener, the process of setting up is three fields. You type in the URL of your website, you pick which form plugin you want, and then you sort of select where that form might be, the URL and so on, and then pick how frequent. I think that's four, actually. But the point is, I presume once you've done this a couple of times, you're looking at under 10 seconds to complete that process, right? And then when that's all set up and the wheels have spun and your platform has figured out, okay, we know what's on that page now. How does it do that? Is it looking for the sort of the HTML? Is it basically traversing the DOM and saying, okay, they've said it's gravity forms. A gravity form, I don't know, checkbox field looks like this. So we know that that's a checkbox field. A WS form one looks like this. A formidable form one looks like this. And in that way, you sort of fill it by looking at the DOM. Is that basically what your software is doing right now? It's trying to figure out what the DOM looks like, the HTML looks like for this particular form.
Yeah, exactly. So essentially, what we've done is we have fed it all of the fields from the various form plugins that we support. So it will find those classes. Of course, you know, there's a handful of form plugins that let you change the CSS classes themselves, but majority of them, people are using the stock classes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You may restyle it, but you're using the stock classes because things like gravity will even break if you're not. So yeah, what we do is we basically identify, okay, we're on the right form, it has the right form ID, I see it on the page as the bot. Okay, I see there's a text field here, I know it's a gravity text field, I'm gonna go ahead and fill that out. And it's going to go through, and we've trained it on all these different types of fields across, you know, hundreds of sites, basically, so it can recognize these items on its own. And then once it, you know, it actually goes through and finds the submit form, it's going to submit that. And you do help, like I said, have the option to test email. That's optional. Now, one thing I'll mention is if you do use your own selectors, you know, or something like that, this is a full-blown step editing process, which means you can actually go in and edit the steps, and you can say, okay, my text field uses this selector every time. So if you're more of a developer, you can go in and basically customize it. We didn't want a handy, you know, we didn't want to prevent people that had used automated testing or developers from customizing it. Plus, from the support side, if someone gets stuck, that's kind of what we do, is we're happy to take a look and see why a form is not generating the test flow properly, and we'll usually get that up and running. So, you know, that's part of the service really that we provide as well.
Can I just, so this is a really weird question, I think, but do you, as a service, CheckView, do you have to be really mindful of things like, I don't know, Cloudflare and malware kind of software that may be installed by the hosting providers, because they're obviously constantly on the lookout for things that fill out forms. You know, how do you mitigate against that? Because obviously, if your service is 24/7 filling out forms, how do you ensure that you don't get flagged as a spam bot, essentially? Because, you know, I can imagine that your service in some ways is fairly adjacent to a spam bot in what it's trying to achieve. So how do you sidestep that problem and make sure that your software can always get the desired result and not get flagged?
That's a great question. And it's definitely a pain point with any automated testing, because like you said, essentially, it doesn't matter if it's a scraping bot, a spam bot, or a testing bot like ours. They're all bots, which means a lot of hosts have tools to prevent you from, you know, as a bot being able to fill out a form. So we have done a couple things, obviously, to mitigate that on our end. You know, for example, we use real browsers. We use headers, if you're familiar with those, developers typically are, to try to avoid any sort of suspicion, any sort of issues there. And it's a little bit of a cat and mouse game because, like you said, the same things we're using for techniques, so are all the bad guys. So the other thing that we do is, you know, for example, with WordPress security plugins, we have our IPs whitelisted as part of that process. And then things like Cloudflare, you can add our IPs if it gets triggered. And we usually recommend if you use Cloudflare to use, you know, to add those IPs, because that will avoid that sort of issue, because we do have dedicated IPs. So if you add those, you don't have to worry, it's going to work moving forward. So that's a little bit, you know, of a process depending on your site. But for most of our clients, especially agencies, they'll add those rules to their Cloudflare global account and they'll apply to all their sites. So they don't have to keep re-adding them. We also have a really easy way to upload those rules with a JSON file for the more tech savvy. So yeah, that is always a concern and something that, you know, we work pretty often on is ensuring that things aren't getting blocked that shouldn't be. But for the most part, you know, if you are not just going out there saying, hey, I'm a bot, and you use things like whitelisting and white hat techniques, it's not as big of an issue as you might expect.
Do you get telemetry on your side, though, if that were to happen? So, for example, if you fell foul of some kind of, let's go with Cloudflare, if Cloudflare just blocked you and what have you, would you get telemetry to say that? And then you could obviously contact your customer and say, look, we can see that you're on Cloudflare. Follow these steps to make sure that it's all working.
Yes. So we have pretty deep logs only when, again, a test is running, not, you know, just day to day on a client site. But we do have some logs that basically tell us, you know, if a form is getting blocked due to, you know, a security restriction, specifically with Cloudflare, we have a lot of details there. And that's something right now we have access to on the sports side. Right now, CheckView, for the most part, you might be able to see it in the video because the video will, you know, often if it does trigger, it will Cloudflare will pop up and you can see it in the video. But if it's something that you can't see, we can see it on our end. And this is something that we're working to bring to customers, so that if we recognize these headers are from Cloudflare and we can recognize, you know, that it's throwing a certain response, we can tell the client, hey, it looks like you're on Cloudflare. Yeah. This is a specific issue, you know, and our end goal with that is that should be a one-off thing. This should not reflect, you know, every time you run a test. So we want to make sure we get that, you know, remediated as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I'm just drawing that out so that the listeners kind of know that you've got their back with that, really. And I'm guessing there's, you know, knowledge base articles and things like that that you can follow.
Yes. We have a lot of really good documentation. And of course, you know, we're always looking to improve it. But with a product like this, you know, our end goal is to simplify it. And that's what we're working to do. But automated testing is something, like I said, that I think WordPress as a community does not do enough of. And I think it's from, you know, the Wild West days of cowboy coding with WordPress, right? We didn't mature, I think, as much in the testing side of things as maybe some other platforms had. So that's part of, I think, the education of, you know, this is something that everyone, for the most part, should be doing if sales are important to you in any capacity. And it's just the responsible thing to do as a website owner or an agency. To be using something like CheckView, if not CheckView, something to make sure that those main business critical functions like leads, checkout are working and that sort of thing.
Can I ask a question? Like a lot of the kind of uptime monitoring software that I've used in the past has the capacity to sort of delegate, you know, by based upon things like, I don't know, times of the day, who gets the response and things like that. So I don't know, it's 4 a.m. in the UK. I am not dealing with that. I am fast asleep in bed. But John over there in the US, he's wide awake. Let's send the email to John. Do you have anything like that, like a team or a delegation thing or a round robin kind of thing, or, you know, anything whereby we can pass it to the person who's actually going to be able to deal with it and not the person that's on holiday, as an example?
Definitely. So we do have you can invite multiple team members on each of the plans. So you can have multiple team members that can access CheckView. You can also add either to the alerts for tests or even the reports. You can add, you know, additional emails there. So it doesn't just have to be a team member. We do have a lot of clients that even do that with their, you know, own customers, where they want their customers to receive alerts, or maybe the customers asked, hey, I want to know if my form's not working. So they will actually CC the customer, which you can do in ours. And it will send, you know, a CheckView alert if there's any sort of issue there, with an easy way to see, here's what step it failed on, if it failed, and a link straight to the video, so that you can take a look and see what's going on. Like I said, the steps are really helpful because it will often show you. But I think the video is usually what I recommend because, you know, when you look at it as a human and you just watch the video, it just looks like another user on the site, right? So I think it illustrates things to most people better if it's, you know, actually an issue on the form or if something else is going on. And like I said, it can be a mix. I'm not going to say there's never any false positives, but there's definitely been times where we thought it was CheckView that had an issue and then we realized, oh, this was a bug in the form plugin. Because what we found is there is a lot of edge case bugs in form plugins because they're complicated. But a lot of these edge case bugs, you know, people don't really realize need to be patched with the updates. And in the meantime, you know, their users can't get past a certain field or something like that's going on.
Yeah. I'm just going to alert everybody. Whilst Matt's been talking for the past like 10 minutes, 8 minutes or so, he's been setting up in the background and I've got his screen here. And what I've just been, whilst he's been talking this down, I've just been watching a form being submitted. And it what's curious to me is it does it nice and slow. It's taking its time. So it's not like boom, 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 all the fields, bang, go. Because surely somewhere somebody's going to have written some software to say, well, that was a weird form submission. That all happened in 0.4 of a second. So it was going through every single, so it detected that it was gravity forms. And then it was going through all of the fields and it was listing out like, okay, this is a checkbox. And then you could see that it had submitted something appropriate to that. This is a text field and you could see the submitted text. And then finally it got to the submit button. It went through about, I don't know, 20 fields or something like that, one at a time, maybe spacing it out 10 seconds between each form field submission. This, of course, would be going on in the background whilst you're asleep, not, you don't have to stare at it. And then finally gets to the end, does the submit. And then after that, added in another field, which looked like it was checking the email. That took maybe 30 seconds. So that was the bit where you were receiving the email. And then somehow CheckView was going, okay, that email that we just received, that matches that form. And then it finally ticked that form off when that had all landed. So the whole process, I got to see it. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. We tried to make it as simple as possible. Like you said, it's going to go through each of these pretty slow. That's on purpose because we want it to act like a real human, yeah. Partly to pick up on bugs, but also because going back to your bot protection at various hosts, et cetera, definitely takes into account how quickly you fill out a form. You fill it out like a bot, it's going to know and it's going to block you.
Yeah.
So we do have to fill out a little bit slower to make sure. And that's, you know, for most of our users, that's not really an issue because once you set this form up, right, with the test flow, it's going to essentially run in the background and, you know, you're not going to be actively in CheckView. You know, talking to like Kyle, the admin bar about CheckView, he said, you know, I'm never going to go in. I don't want to go into the dashboard I've set it up.
Kind of the point of your service is never to ever visit. In an ideal world, you never come back, right? You just runs.
Yeah,
it's just running in the background. So I guess one of the things that people are going to know from this is how much does it cost? And like, how many times can you ping an email on a web page, that kind of thing. So let's begin with pricing. How does that work? And how many seats do you get for the price and so on and so forth?
Yep. So our pricing is anywhere from $35 to $110 per month, depending. Really, it comes down to mostly the number of tests that you need to run on a monthly basis. And we list this out on our website. We also have a calculator. But basically, it all comes down to per usage of tests. And this works really well because you can use it on as many sites as you want. You can really decide what you want to test. And we do leave that up to clients. For example, you know, we recommend obviously starting with the most critical tests, like your main sales form or checkout. You may have other forms, maybe a schedule an event that you want to add later once you get to know CheckView, that sort of thing. So we really try to give people flexibility. So at the bottom tier, our essentials tier, you know, you have one login, you get 250 tests per month. And with that, that's typically going to allow you to, you know, test several websites on a daily, you know, basis, or you can more test a lot of websites on a weekly basis, right? So it really just depends on how you want to determine what's important and what's not. And then once you kind of move up to our plus plan, you get WooCommerce support. If you want to do checkout, I will let you do that because Woo, as you mentioned, is a little more complicated. We have to do a lot more around the orders to make sure that it's all working. And then on the high end, you get 2,000 tests. That middle plan was 1,000. But we also track that. So that way we'll alert you if you're running out of tests and you are at least aware and you can decide, okay, I want to sign up or contact support. Otherwise, it will just, you know, wait till the next month and it will pause tests and it will let you know, basically. But we tried to make this as flexible as possible, knowing that every bot we run does have a cost to us.
Yeah.
So that's why it's all basically a linear process, you know, as far as costs go. So that's how we came up with the pricing.
Can I just interject there? So yep. With that, am I on all of the plans? Do I have the capacity to do this work on behalf of my clients? So let's say, I don't know, I'm a freelancer. I've got 35 websites that I'm maintaining. I want to spread out that between the 35 of them, and I want to do, I don't know, two checks a week on each of them. That would happily come under your most affordable plan. Is that the kind of thing I can do? And is there a mechanism for keeping my clients abreast of what's happened? You know, in some way sort of saying, we've checked your, I don't know, we checked your contact form page twice this week and it's all passed. Or do I have to do that manually? You sort of see where I'm going with that, I think.
Yeah. So right now, and I guess to answer your question, let's say you had 30 sites at two forms per site and you wanted to check every week these forms, that would fall under, you know, our lowest plan. So, you know, for $35, you can basically have, let's say 30 clients that, you know, don't have to worry about those forms. You can also upsell that into your care plans. And if you think about it, it saves one sale, right? It pays for itself very quickly.
Yeah.
But to really, you know, I guess answer the question about customer reports and that sort of stuff. So currently, you can add customers to test flows. You can also add them to reports. Right now, those reports aren't white labeled. We're definitely looking into that. We have a lot of agencies. I would say actually majority of our clients are agencies. And that's definitely something that, you know, has been brought up to us, either providing a white label option for our own reports or integrating into other, you know, maintenance platforms that don't support something like this. Because this is obviously, you know, it's a pretty involved feature. So you haven't really seen this grow out into a lot of the other maintenance platforms. Primarily, I think just because of, you know, the investment and the resources, and they obviously have other things they need to be doing as well. They have to think of all their customers. So that's something that we're definitely looking into as we build out our API, doing an integration into some other maintenance dashboards. But currently, you can definitely email clients. You can include them in those monthly or weekly reports, and it's going to give them all that data.
Okay, thank you. The other thing I'm curious about is we're in a it feels like, okay, we might get a new player in the form space, but we definitely feel like we've solidified on like a half a dozen or more. You know, you've got them on your website. There's a few big players and maybe there's some smaller players that'll come and go and you can figure those out. But we do seem to be in a period of, at the minute, where there's quite a few e-commerce solutions dropping in WordPress. So obviously we've got the elephant in the room, WooCommerce, but we've also got things like Shortcart, don't know if you've heard of North Commerce. They're making a bit of noise at the moment. And then we've got Fluent. I believe it's going to be called Fluent Cart or something like that. In the process at the minute. Do you have any kind of like roadmap for those as well? Do you keep your eye on the scene and see what plugins? Because obviously they're coming, and it would be great if they could be integrated. So just a quick roadmap question, really.
Yeah. Definitely. So currently, yeah, we're focused on Woo for sure. It's obviously still the you could say gorilla in the room, right? But definitely things like Shortcart are on our radar. We've had some clients even request that. We do have a feedback board. If you join CheckView, you know, a very transparent feedback board of what we're doing. People can vote on it, all that sort of stuff. But those are definitely ones that we are watching as they grow, because obviously that's another space where validation and testing will make sense, just like any other platform. When there's sales involved, you want to make sure that stuff's running all the time. So definitely looking at, Shortcart, Fluence is very interesting. So we're taking a look at that one. But right now we haven't confirmed on those. We really want to get the Woo integration, you know, working in a lot of different scenarios. You know, obviously even things like subscriptions, you know, right now you could technically run a subscription, but it's not going to auto cancel itself, right?
Yeah.
So ideally we would look at those things, because things like subscriptions, Woo subscriptions are used by, you know, thousands and thousands of sites. So we're taking a look at really all the WooCommerce options, but the other e-commerce ones are growing quite rapidly, and we're definitely aware.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I think at the 40-minute mark, I've probably asked you everything that I want to ask. So just once more, for the listeners, checkview.io, checkview.io. Go and check it out. You know, there's the usual pricing page and features and what have you. And having watched it, I know you, dear listener, have been unable to watch it. I just watched the whole process while we were talking, and it worked. so that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's great. So thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. Go check it out, checkview.io once more, and appreciate it. Thank you very much for chatting to me today.
No, thank you, Nathan, so much for your time. If anyone has any questions, feel free to contact me at matt@checkview.io or just submit a contact form on checkview.io. We definitely are happy to do a demo or walk through what the process looks like. Or if you have other things you want to check, I will mention last thing. While we obviously have integrations built in with form software and checkout, you could technically test things like LMSs. This is a full-blown bot. You can tell the bot really to test anything. And we have a GUI to do that. We can also do that for you. So do keep that in mind. Reach out if you have anything else that's mission critical, basically. We have a lot of clients that test things like LearnDash, because, you know, if a LearnDash update happens, that's their core business, something breaks. Those are the things that we also want to keep in mind. But
nice.
Thank you again, Nathan.
Yeah, thank you. That's good to drop in at the end. Thank you very much for chatting to me today, Matt. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks again, Nathan.
Okay, that's almost all I've got time for this week. I hope that you enjoyed that. If you did, head over to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 431, and leave us a comment there. In all honesty, if you didn't enjoy it, head over to episode number 431 and leave us a comment there. We'd really appreciate that. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also helped out this week by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. Keeping the lights on this week are also Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their continuing support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, very nearly time for me to fade in some cheesy music. Just before I do that, a few reminders. If you like the podcast and you'd like to get in front of a WordPress-specific audience with sponsorship, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. Subscribe at /subscribe. And we'll be live on Monday for This Week in WordPress at /live, 2 p.m. UK time. Okay, here comes the cheesy music. It's dreadfully cheesy this week. I hope that you enjoy it. Have a good week. Stay safe. Bye-bye for now.